Welcome to Tech Theater Clubhouse Conversations, where we have conversations around conversations about the conversations we just had on the Clubhouse app.
This is a podcast to continue that conversation, because every Tuesday on Clubhouse, we have these amazing discussions with brilliant people who sit at the intersection of tech and theater.
We always walk away from these Clubhouse talks with so many more thoughts than we have time to get to. We only have 60 minutes. We've got lots of voices and tons of news. So we decided to make this podcast where we can share those additional thoughts, have more conversations, and reach even more of our friends and collaborators. So, hey, I am Jess Ryan, CEO and co-founder of Broadway Unlocked. My background is in the theater, and for the last decade or so, I have really loved connecting theater to technology and the internet and all that jazz.
I just want to do jazz hands. And I'm Joe White, co-founder of Broadway Unlocked. I've been building and operating startups for over 10 years now, and I try to bring a bit of a tech and media perspective to these convos.
And with that, welcome to Tech Theater. All right, this week on Clubhouse, we talked about large-scale connections and disputes between tech companies and news media outlets. Guess the news piece, Joe.
Facebook, Meta, Facebook.
Ding, ding, ding.
I win.
Also in the news, the rise of fake influencers on TikTok that are actually like actors with teams of writers and producers behind them, making content designed to engage and build a fan base. And then sort of all of that conversation prompted the thought across all the people who joined us on stage that like it might be nice that theater is somewhat removed from this technology metaverse hellscape. Lucy, our producer, has decided it's a technology metaverse hellscape, and I like it. We're keeping it. It feels very accurate. So frequently, I know, and if you listen, you know, that I'll ask Joe to start in because a lot of times he's sort of like reading thoughtfully and listening to people's very specific theater industry knowledge. But
I really appreciated the reading thoughtfully part there.
I wouldn't want someone to misinterpret that as like, because if I hadn't said thoughtful, it could be taken as like a, and he's not talking because he's reading the articles, nerd.
Joe's a very slow reader.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to mix it up because I actually want to ask to talk specifically to talk more about something you said today in the conversation about the metaverse Facebook shenanigans.
Heck yeah.
Was this what you wanted to talk about anyway?
I wanted to go to it. There's two topics I want to hit. The first is corpocracy.
Yeah. That.
And then the second is Lonely Girl 15.
Oh, sure.
Leave it there.
Yeah.
Leave it there.
Except for I'm not asking you what you want to talk about this week, but that's exactly what I want to talk about. So specifically, I wanted to know if you would just recap what your thoughts about what I asked Joe was like, what do you think about this Meta Facebook announcement, right? Because it's not just Facebook. Now they own WhatsApp and Instagram and all these sub brands. So they're now adding this parent company. It's called Meta. They're building a metaverse, hellscape, blah, blah, blah. And so I asked Joe what he thought of, you know, being from startup land, and your answer didn't so much surprise me, but definitely took me down like a panic path that led into theater and other industries that we inhabit. So I think that's like, can you recap?
Ooh, I can't wait to get there.
Yeah. Can you recap what your thoughts were and what you said to everybody on Clubhouse and tell me a little more and all of us a little more about, you know, about your perspective?
Yes, I would love to. So I'm going to start with the term that I don't think I made up. I'm not that smart.
I think you've said it before.
Corpocracy, the idea that a corporation could or would become its own sovereign nation, essentially.
Hellscape, blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah.
Hellscape. like the various governing principles that humanity has moved its way through in current phases, you know, democracy and collective responsibility and all that good stuff. And the organization around sovereign states. You know, borders drawn that maybe don't make a lot of sense given the historical like interactions of tribes or other, you know, groups of people or entities. But it's how we're currently organized, and it works-ish. Got us where we are right now. But if you like extrapolate real hard and real far from the current like antitrust conversations that are happening, you know, these big corporations who are growing in scale and importance and power. And they themselves reach and breach outside of these kind of made up state borders that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, Amazon is an international company. It may be headquartered here. Same with Facebook, same with Apple, same with all of these big actors. And at what point do they decide, oh, you know what, like paying favor to playing nicely with the United States government is no longer in our best interest. Like we have enough power, we have enough influence, we have enough connectivity, we have enough whatever that we can actually do something different. Like, I don't know how this would actually happen. The stepping stones to get there are totally not a thing I understand, but I bet you someone has like an actual plan.
And by the way, if you're wondering how we got to hellscape, blah, 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 literally because, tell me if I've got this right, Lucy, but Mark Zuckerberg was sort of like doling out favors to press who he was going to talk to, right, Lucy?
Yeah, he selected a very specific group of people that he made the initial Meta rebranding announcement to, like avoided primary mainstream publications. They got the information, but he sat down and did these private, important one-on-ones with the companies that speak favorably about Facebook. Yeah.
Looking at you, The Verge, step it up. So yeah, so their sort of battles and interactions with media and the way that information is shared, which they already have a huge influence and control over. They don't themselves yet own all the like the news outlets and news publications. But if you could imagine for a second, like this Facebook being its own sovereign entity with, you know, rigid borders and a delegation that interfaces with the United States and any other, you know, global superpower on the level of like equal statehoodness, and like they can make their own laws and rules and they don't have to abide by minimum wage standards and things like that. And they can just be like, hey, we think we can do this better. That's kind of the place they've been trending anyway. We can build a better experience for human beings to interact on the internet and just like take that a bit further. And it's almost a little bit like direct-to-consumer companies like Casper and things like that. They started on the internet by cutting out the need for brick-and-mortar stores to save money, consumer direct relationships. But then once they had a foothold, the first thing they did was build brick and mortar stores so that people could come in person and experience those things. And it almost feels like Facebook and all those other companies that could, in theory, go this direction are doing. They're like, oh, we're going to build community online, and now we're going to build a state.
I hate this conversation so much.
It's wild. What's the, isn't there a movie? Maybe it's called like...
Eagle Eye? Are you thinking of the dystopian horror?
I love Eagle Eye. Thriller, Eagle Eye is a great callback to every Clubhouse conversation that Jermaine is part of. No, it's with Luke Wilson. Idiocracy, I think it's called.
Oh, I never saw that, actually.
I don't actually know if the like the entity in that movie is its own sort of nation state, but it's the idea that like a single brand has kind of taken over, or one of the sub parts of the plot is that a single brand has kind of taken over governing responsibility of whatever. Doesn't matter.
I mean, and I'm just like background to the same question that I asked during Clubhouse, which is what stops that from happening? This is where my panic is like Mark Zuckerberg doesn't have the wherewithal, awareness, thought patterns to like take himself out from in front of a camera because he's the least charismatic human being on the planet in front of a camera. I'm sure he's fine in real life. Why would he take himself off the throne where he could be king? What stops this shit? Why? Like, is this how it ends? Oh my God.
This is how we evolve. We're just
I don't wanna
entering a new phase of humanity. Hopefully we'll all be dead by then.
Oh my God.
It's my one hope.
This is a super bright episode of Tech Theater.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like land, like physical space is one current limitation that we can tether ourselves to. Like most land around the planet is spoken for.
That's not true. Cards Against Humanity bought a castle in Scotland. And a island in Maine?
I guess you can probably buy islands. I don't know. It's terrifying.
It is terrifying. And I think, like, this is not the same in size, scope, and terror to a tech company. But I couldn't help but think about theater and some of the stuff that we've talked about here, right? The propensity for theater owners to not release grosses, right? Like all these weird gatekeepy, we're going to make our own rules, standards don't matter, and we're going to lock everything up. Like I couldn't help but make that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That leap between this that we're talking about with tech companies and theater. And I just can't find a way where like to convince myself out of this is the only way this where place this path leads.
Yep, that's exactly where it goes.
Oh God.
No, I have no idea, but it seems like, yeah, plausible at the very least that it would just go that direction of it's kind of already where we're at if you really want to think about it. It's like a moneyed few, make all the decisions.
Yeah,
we just like
true.
Don't really know. It's not transparent enough for us to get you know, pointedly mad at.
So, oh, that makes me want to, like, what do you think about this? Like, maybe the premise then is, before the internet, we didn't have as much access, immediate access to information. This has always been this way. Like, if my premise is correct, like, we just are repeating history every, you know, whatever, however, whatever the cycle is. Yeah. We just didn't have as much access to information. So does anything change? Because in this newest cycle of humanity, we know it's happening, or we have access to the information that tells us it's happening.
We probably just get to watch it happen now.
Oh, that's even worse.
Right? It's like, we can't do anything to stop it. We just have front row seats to the burning effigy of our own civilization.
Oh my God, you should go to work as a writer for Nihilist Arby's on Twitter.
That is a nice compliment. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
My poor optimistic heart, like, has to believe there's some kind of incentive for this not to happen. We can't possibly just all be saved by, like, antitrust laws being the only thing that de-incentivize, like, allows this shit to not happen.
Yeah. I wonder, like, so amongst the organizing principles of, like, how our country works is sort of, like, free flowing of capital, but sort of, like, restrictive controls around the flow of people and therefore labor. Mm-hmm. And so in this situation, if Facebook is on its own island or something like that, and people are choosing to work for Facebook, but they're still citizens of the United States of America, then all the rules in theory apply. Mm. So it's like the people continue to choose to organize as citizens of the United States or Canada or wherever they live, because they want that. They like that. They've been citizens for their whole time, the legacy. So Facebook would have to do something.
Make it real worth it.
To encourage, incentivize people to either give up that citizenship or work inside of their weird domain, whatever the metaverse becomes or is, and, like, to ascribe to that and to give up that which was. So it would have to get, like, I think, significantly worse in the States specifically.
Okay.
For people better to make that choice. But I think it, like, that's, like, one of the other limiting factors. There's a lot of limiting factors as to why this wouldn't happen right now. And, like, that one feels like another big one. Like, why would I give up my rights as a United States citizen? Still pretty great, despite a lot of the, like, bullshit of the past many, many years.
Yeah.
Like, why would I make that choice? Like, are they just going to give all of their employees a bazillion dollars? Is it somehow
bazillion?
Is it going to be somehow organized on a blockchain?
Oh, my God. Welcome to our podcast, where Joe explains the principles and flow of economics and human capital to someone with a BFA in musical theater.
It would be like, it would probably, in the, like, the first version of it, I'd imagine, would be like a benevolent despot model of just, like, everything they're offering just seems amazing and better. And, like,
which doesn't have to be much.
It's free healthcare and it's organic food. And it's, like, it's all the things that we, like, could snap our fingers and have if they were doing that. And then people would assemble around that, right? People would self-select in based on their, views and habits, behaviors, wants, needs. And it would have to, like, be really attractive to pull people away from the current model of, like, yes, citizenship. But yeah, like, imagine, like, it's almost kind of like, remember how WeWork was like, hey, we're going to have apartments and we're going to have childcare and we're going to have food and we're going to have, yeah, like, just, like, everything organized into a single building so you never have to leave ever. Just, like, take that to the extreme.
Which is not a far jump for WeWork. Like, it was kind of already on its way there.
I'm like, honestly, as I started saying, like, oh, they'd provide good healthcare, I was just like, oh, sign me up. Like, what? I'm, like, still slightly broken from running a marathon. I'm like, I wish my body felt better and I wasn't worried about spending lots of money by going to the doctor and or physical therapy. I was like, I hate that sits in my head.
Oh, I hate this. I also just had, like, some vision then of, like, a tech tycoon as king of his corporocracy. And then we, like, go to present a live streamed art performance for the court.
Oh, are we the jesters in this?
Yeah, I think so.
It feels right. It feels
it's so right.
Oh, I hate it. No, it's good. Man. It's good.
Well, speaking of visibility into things we just didn't understand, we got talking about, you mentioned Lonely Girl a second ago, or whatever, 15 minutes ago. And we got talking a lot about, like, influencers and what is fiction and what is real and what are the semantics? Is it semantics around, you know, actors doing scripted anyway, all of that crazy shit. We talked about that a lot today, and I know that was on your brain. So where'd you want to go with that?
It was on my brain, and I couldn't read that piece from Vox. But it immediately made me think of early YouTube and this YouTube channel that was created in, like, I don't know, 2005 or 2006, like really early in the life cycle of YouTube, that looked like, felt like, streamed like a blog from, I think, a 15 or 16 year old girl called Lonely Girl 15.
They and reference it in the art. They talk about it in the article.
Oh, I didn't read this one.
Yeah.
Just saw the headline.
Oh. But keep going.
It was like such a phenomenon because people thought it was real.
Yeah.
And like the medium that was YouTube and vlogging was like still new enough that like nobody even knew to think about the fact that it could be scripted or fake, and that it was revealed that, oh, actually, like, this woman, this girl is an actress, and like everyone in here, the storylines, everything, and all of this like emotional investment that had been put in by a community of video creators and video consumers on YouTube. I think they were both like offended and hurt and sort of like let down by the fact that it was fake, and mm-hmm. they had like invested emotionally in this human and this story. And then everyone else was like, oh my God, this is incredible. Like, but what a world that we can play with by just like creating like artifice on the internet that plays with that line between reality and fiction. Yeah, it pulled me right back into like that time period and that mindset. Like, what is that, 15 years ago, 16 years ago?
Yeah.
And to your point of cycles, we're just like recreating again. Now we're just doing it on TikTok.
Like, it never happened.
Yeah.
This article is like, this has never happened before. I mean, that's not true because they reference Lonely Girl, but yeah, it's wild. And there's like, to me, there's three columns of gray in this question about the right morality of fake creators or companies who are creating fake creators, which is like, I'm thinking about myself at least. And even when anytime I step in front of a camera, even if it's just to like vlog, I'm writing shit down. I'm spending time thinking about the order of
it's
things
all scripted.
I want to say.
Jess is a phony.
Exactly. I definitely am a phony baloney. You know what I mean? And then secondarily, we were talking about on Clubhouse today, like if you've seen Fake Famous, like now real influencers, quotes, hellscape, blah, 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 are like fucking putting toilet seats up in front of sky backgrounds because it looks like an airplane window. So like, I don't see how that's any different. You know what I mean? So like,
it took me so long to figure out what you meant by toilet seats in front of windows, but I got you.
I can't remember anything else from that movie except that, because that blew my fucking mind. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Isn't there like a whole company that rents jets to people just to come take pictures on while they sit on the tarmac?
They're in the movie. That's in the movie too.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I wish I would like...
But that's what I mean.
I wish I could like sell my soul a little bit and do things like that.
Yeah.
Like just be like, what is the most vindictive money-making thing I can think of?
Remind me to tell you about a really stupid piece of ad tech that I thought about this weekend that we could make that would be no fun at all, but...
We'd all be rich.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be worried about how much it costs to go to the doctor.
Yep, exactly.
Facebook, hit me up when your citizenship application's open. Excuse me.
I also just imagined myself crying, like waving my handkerchief at you as you walk into the Facebook kingdom so you can go get your knees checked out.
Oh my goodness. I like totally lost the thread in the best way possible.
I think there's a very blurry, like there's all these columns of shades of gray. And, like, so the posit of this article, like what was this called? For the company that's doing this, for something?
Forefront.
Forefront. But F-O-U-R, right? Yeah. The idea in this article that like we should be questioning whether it's okay to like have a fake influencer that's scripted and an actor or a company is like one tiny piece of a bunch of lies inside this influencer sphere anyway. At least this is creative.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder like how far it's going to push on these spectrums, right? Because there's like the fully, fully fake to like the totally, totally authentic. And then on the other axis, it's like totally transparent that it is either fake or authentic, or it's like totally not transparent whether it's fake or authentic.
Ooh.
Do you like see my quad that we're in now?
Yeah, actually, that's really, I'm scared of your brain sometimes.
I like this one. This is fun. We're going to go somewhere with it. Give me the whiteboard.
It's right behind you.
I know. Oh. But like if we're going to push into the extremes of this quadrant where it's like, the things that people are going to be attracted to are like fully transparently fake, and like whatever this weird multi-universe thing that they're trying to create for these influencers. And if it were more transparent, is that somehow attractive? Like, I think of like the mascot for Progressive and stuff like that. Like, Flo became kind of an influencer in a weird way, but it was like clear that she is a character, and like it worked really well.
Yeah.
And then like all the way on like the super transparent side of things, transparent, authentic is like, I don't know, a lot of like TikTok-y people who are just like,
yeah. Or early YouTubers,
dicking around
like you
on
said,
the internet,
right?
Like, or like Mr. Beast and stuff like that, where he's like, yeah, we're just fucking around giving money away. Like, yeah. This is what I do and life is weird.
Yeah.
And like which things people will become attracted to in reaction to what is currently happening, and like how we just kind of, we start to eschew the things that we know now, like once we've like kind of figured them out. So will we think, oh, like they're tricking us, like with these fake influencers that is like non-transparently told that they're actually actors or whatever. And mm-hmm. So will we therefore go to the other two poles, which is like authentic transparent and authentic fake?
I think you know this, Joe, but people who listen to the podcast, you might not know that I read Wired magazine every month. And my very favorite part of Wired magazine is a section called Chartgeist, where they take a very scientific approach to charting, but a very, very lowbrow humor approach to the actual thing they chart. And I think you should pitch this to them. I think it would be a great Chartgeist.
Get it.
It would be. I can see the jokes already, like in my head.
This is like low-key on my like mundane bucket list. I think someone referred to it as once. This is on my mundane bucket list, which is like to get something arbitrary into a magazine.
Let's sit down. Let's write some jokes for this chart, guys. I can help with that.
Yeah.
And let's submit. I don't think you can, but we'll do it anyway.
Fuck it. We'll do it anyway.
Yeah. Or we can make our own and just tag Wired on Twitter.
I can't.
I think
this
is really good.
It's really fun. I'm like genuinely very excited about this idea.
That's awesome.
And then it'll fulfill my dream of having something arbitrary in a magazine.
But like also, can I ask, like, whomever, this is one of the reasons I love the Chartgeists, because I think they're really smart and must be hard to make as cleverly. And we just spent 15 of our 30-minute podcast coming up with this fucking Chartgeist. Like, can you imagine doing this every month? Wait,
yeah.
Yes, you can.
Really fun or really terrible?
Joe's already doing research on this, just in case you're curious what those banging noises are in the background of the podcast. It's his keyboard, which if you don't know, he's a very, very hard typer.
Oh, accurate. I think it's like the drumming.
Oh,
I also
tap
a lot. I am a drummer. Did we have anything else of substance that we were trying to get to?
I don't think so.
I feel better having shared some of my hopes and dreams. I feel seen.
I'm ignoring that. I have a positive cap on what I do feel like has been a really disheartening conversation generally. And it is that I will say, just because we can't see the way forward doesn't mean it isn't there. And I think we had a conversation today that I was just thinking of in that second about with a tech company that is we're working with in a creative capacity, and like we're all working together to set standards for future folks who come into this world. And I just like, it's one of those things that like I feel like that's it, things will be okay. Like if a tech company and a like creative live digital agency can work together on behalf of people who don't even have this job yet, do you know what I mean, then maybe the world will be all right.
Forever forward.
What is that from?
I don't know. I just think of sharks and like a shark fact that is maybe true, that they are forever moving forward. Like part of their physiology,
they don't go backwards,
is that they have to continue moving forward for the way that I guess like oxygen in the water, gills.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I didn't know that.
And so they're forever forward.
That's always, I also like in a similar vein, I think of buffalo because they run into the storm.
That's cool.
Yeah, totally. Wow. I was told once when I was driving our pontoon boat straight into a Colorado storm that I was like buffalo. And I was like, you're goddamn right. I'm like a buffalo. Take us home, Joe.
Well, dear audience, we would love to hear what you think about sharks. Please come fact check us anytime you want. It'd be a great way to interact on Twitter. Tweet at us at @BWIUnlocked and use the hashtag TechTheaterCH to share your thoughts and keep the conversation going.
Yep. And of course, join our next conversation Tuesday at 12:55 Eastern on Clubhouse. You know how that technology works. Raise your hand, jump in and share your thoughts.
And if you've enjoyed today's episode, we'd love if you'd rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and leave a review.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Leave a review. every single topic we've talked about on Clubhouse and in this podcast is inspired by the articles we read and share in our company Slack every week and the people who join our stage, just like you. So please tweet us at #TechTheaterCH, share some cool articles, get the conversation going, leave us a review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, bye.